Welcome to A Home That Heals. We are on this journey that you've been on with us to creating homes that heal.
And we're so glad that you have been alongside because there's a lot to it as we try to make our homes all that God wants them to be. So stick with us today.
We are so excited to be with you on this final episode of the season that we have been calling Raising Countercultural Kids. I'm Bree. This is my mom, Dee, and we just thank you so much for being with us. We've had wonderful discussions, wonderful interviews this past season, and as we head into the summer, we're going to take a little break, but we'll be back in the fall, and we hope that you'll continue following us on Instagram and Facebook on our little farm, and that's what we're going to kind of share with you. We have some big changes here on A Home That Heals in our family life.
Boy, we do. And, you know, I just had spring break. A lot of you've probably had spring break. And so people say, oh, what'd you do over spring break? Did you have fun? Like, well, I moved. Oh. So you know how that is when you move. Is that ever fun? Has anybody ever had fun moving? I don't think so.
Or at the end of it said, let's do this again next year.
No. Except for you. She's had us move a couple of times because she's gotten some great ideas. And I have to admit, they're great ideas because where we moved over this last few weeks has really opened up so many new possibilities for our homes that we are trying to make homes that heal. We've got some acreage. We've got more animals. Mm-hmm. We're adding to our collection all the time. We might even spring a surprise on a few family members about some of those animals coming along. We'll talk about that later. But it's a different way of living. We've done multi-generational living now for about a dozen years. Mm-hmm. And this new move is allowing us to kind of kick it up a little bit and mm-hmm. take it to a different level.
It is. It's exciting. We moved, to the 20 acres from 5, and we loved being able to, you know, start our little farm. We have our alpacas and our horses, but for us, we really wanted to create a space where maybe people can come and visit our animals, but also where all of our animals are doing something for us. You know, there's mm-hmm. there's so much more value when you have to go, you know, feed and water and build fences and pick up poop and all of that. Mm-hmm, yeah. It just feels different when your animal is then providing something back to you. And we have seen, first of all, we talk about lifestyle therapy. We are big components mm-hmm. or proponents of lifestyle therapy, where our lifestyle lends itself to healing. And that has to do a lot with the work a farm provides and the, you know, benefits that you get from being around animals. However, a huge benefit for us has been the multi-generational living aspect of that. And we know for a lot of you, we're hearing from you, that you're having to start considering maybe multi-generational living for financial reasons, for health reasons, whatever it might be, childcare reasons. And we've gotten a lot of questions like, how do you do that?
Mm-hmm. It really struck a chord when we started talking about this. We probably started talking about it a little over a year ago. Mm-hmm. And we realized that with, you know, the economy, inflation, all the things that are happening, a lot of people are really seriously needing to consider, okay, what do we do? Let's think outside the box. Let's mm-hmm. think outside of what's normal. And so as we talk about countercultural living, well, that we thought it was. We thought this multi-generational thing was countercultural, but I believe it's shifting. Mm-hmm. And people are starting to realize that this is a great way to live. And even though maybe you're being forced into it a little bit, hey, it has some real significant benefits.
It does. I think one of the things I just loved, and we'll give you a little sneak peek into what it was like the last few weeks as we were moving, mm-hmm. is living with you guys, my parents, my husband's in-laws, my kids' grandparents. Our kids get to see us walk out conflict. And we had a little bit of conflict going on.
And we might have a little bit more coming. We'll tell you about that in a minute.
As we were moving, And just realizing all the incredible little trinkets that you and Dad have accumulated over the 150 years you've been living, I'm sure, because of how many boxes.
We have a lot of boxes. And trinkets, I don't like that word, trinkets.
I know, it's not trinkets.
Tchotchkes, maybe, no, stuff. We have a lot of stuff.
Who knew that Easter bags could be so precious that we couldn't throw them away?
So we have a very different view of things. And I got to say, I admire my daughter. She has this view of things. If they don't serve a purpose, if they haven't been used for a while, they are out the window. Let me tell you, I have seen many a birthday present I've given my grandkids out the window, either to one of the charities or, you know, sometimes into the trash. And I've been like, I just got that. So, but that's, you know what? That's good because she doesn't have as much stuff as I do. Mm-hmm. And I really have realized that the stuff weighs you down. And because when we were moving, it was horrible.
Well, and I kept going over thinking, oh, man, we worked all day. We've got to be close. Like, there's got to be. We probably only have one more day to go. And then, sure enough, there was another closet or another area. But what was so fun, and this is what I loved about it, is it could have been something that was contentious because, one, my husband and I had no problem making fun of them about it, and that could have really bothered you. And we made jokes, and we said things, or we, you know, just secretively kind of threw stuff in the trash or hurried and hauled it up for the youth ranch and took it away.
Right.
But I loved that you were able to take that well. And then vice versa, you know, we could have gotten really upset and really frustrated. And I hope we had a lot of grace, understanding that it's a lot of life that you and Dad have lived and memories and things that you need to sift through. And that can't always just be thrown away as much as I would like it to be. And I loved that our kids got to see us deal with that, because I have to be honest, when I thought of raising countercultural kids, it's very countercultural now in a lot of families to work through conflict. Mm. You know, there's just so much out there about toxic relationships. And don't get me wrong, if you're in a relationship that is truly, like, you know, abusive, that is a separate thing. That's not what I'm talking about. But, you know, somebody hurting our feelings, or even maybe somebody having a personality trait that really is toxic, per se, that isn't something that you just get rid of. That's something you work through, and especially in family. Mm-hmm. And I want my kids to see that. I want my kids to understand that that's really important to work through those things. I think humor is a great way to work through
that. It
is.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah.
And our family is kind of sarcastic, and we
She's
enjoy
really
humor.
Good at laughing at us. So we're just glad we can fuel the laughter. That's
I know.
What that's
you
what
provide great entertainment for us. But I thought about that over the last few weeks. That really is countercultural, and it is a beautiful trait, because now I know I'm raising kids that are going to be able to go into the workforce. They're going to be able to go into difficult relationships. You know, maybe their in-laws are going to be really difficult people. Who knows what it will be? And they will have seen us model through that and not just shove it under a rug and pretend like it doesn't exist, those frustrations or those disagreements or that conflict isn't there, but to really watch us walk through it.
Well, you know, that is a good point. I think that most people want to avoid conflict. Avoiding conflict is like a premium. It's like a supreme goal for a lot of us. And I lived a lot of my life that way, too. Conflict is really hard for me. I don't like it. I'd rather sweep it under the rug. But one of the things that you learn as you live is that it always comes out. At some point, in some way, it comes out. So better to be honest about it and deal with it. Perhaps try to laugh with it and find ways that are positive that you can make it work. And you've really taught me a lot about that, because not only do you do it with us, but I've seen you do it with the kids too. And that's really helped me to figure out how, when I'm maybe a little irritated or frustrated with my grandkids, which never happens, maybe once in a while, but if I can kind of do the same thing, if I can start to, you know, joke around with them a little bit about it and say, oh, come on. Did you really think it was a good idea to do blah, 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 blah? And pretty soon they'll crack a smile and they realize, you know, that maybe wasn't the best thing in the world to do. We can laugh about it and fix it. Mm-hmm. So thank you. That's been a really good thing. And that's, I want to say, if I can, I hope this doesn't sound weird, But, you know, one of the things that I've had to learn from my daughter, because we did a business together for a number of years, and it was a little hard for me because she was still in my mind, my little girl. And so I had to realize, no, she owns this business. I'm just here as kind of a helper, employee, sidekick, whatever. I wasn't the main deal. And she understood her clientele far better than I did. She was of the generation that her clientele were in. And so I had to kind of submit to her and to her decisions and to her viewpoints on things. And it's kind of hard to do when you're older. I mean, if I'm talking to some of you in my generation, I think that can be hard. And it was good for me to realize that, you know what, I don't have to carry that weight, all of that weight. I don't have to be the know-all, be-all, end-all. I can be your helper. Mm. I can be the sidekick. Mm. And I've kind of loved that because, you know, in this home that we're living in now. So let me just set the stage for you. So we moved, and now while we had two separate homes before on 5 acres, now we're in one home on 20 acres. So there is more room to get away from each other if we need to. But still, we're living under one roof for a while we do some adjusting on the living situation. And so while I'm in there, in that situation, you're the mom. I'm the grandma. I kind of need to know my place. Mm. And it's not easy. I'll admit, sometimes I want to step in or I want to do things. And I probably do when I shouldn't. So we need to work on that a little bit. But it is one of those things that I'm learning from you, and I'm having to learn in this season of life that I'm not the big kahuna, you know, and it's okay.
Well, I'll just, you know, kind of push back a little bit, though, because also I love being under your wing in a sense of having somebody to come to ask mm-hmm. for wisdom. And I value your opinion very much. And there are times that she will step in, especially if I'm dealing with a conflict with the kids and I need, you know, maybe my husband isn't there. And it is really nice to have another adult come say, yeah, I'm with your mom on this. I mean, don't you want that sometimes, moms, of, you know, just having that kind of, you know,
backup,
you know? Yeah, it really is. I need some backup here. And so it's a wonderful thing to have people in the mix, have family, have people you trust that you know you would want your kids to go to for advice and all of that. But also those times when I just say, Mom, I don't know how to deal with this situation. I really need some help on it. So I love that. I hope and encourage all of you to consider multi-generational living. If it's something that you need to do and you're just not sure how to do it, or you think there's no way I could live with my family, there is a way. It's hard. It doesn't mean it's easy, but everything's hard, right? Choose your heart. Mm-hmm. And so when we come back, I want to share just a little bit more about what this is going to look like for us. And we'll just give you a few funny stories too as well. But we want to give a huge shout out to our sponsors. We appreciate you so much for believing in us. 89.5 KTSY, thank you so much mm-hmm. for helping us produce this podcast. And Grady has been an incredible partner in this, just making this all come together. We thank you for that so much.
Yeah, and we really appreciate Northwest Christian Credit Union. So we'll be back after a message from them.
Hi, I'm Brad, president of Northwest Christian Credit Union, and we're proud to be sponsoring this episode of A Home That Heals. At Northwest Christian Credit Union, your financial well-being is our priority. Your Christian values are welcomed, and your faith is encouraged. From everyday personal banking to multi-million-dollar church loans to biblically sound investing, Northwest Christian Credit Union is your stewardship partner. We're here to serve with personalized banking in person or online. Northwest Christian Credit Union has been serving the Christian community since 1954. Investing back into our local Christian community is a part of our DNA, and believe that healthy homes foster a stronger community. So we are proud to sponsor A Home That Heals. Visit mynccu.org to explore how membership can benefit you.
Welcome back. We're talking about multi-generational living, which, as we said earlier, is becoming a little more normal. People are doing it more, or at least considering it more. But it still is a little bit countercultural, especially in some of its specific aspects, because you have to give up some things to do multicultural living well, I believe. And that can be hard. It can be hard to decide, I'm going to give up some of my freedom, some of my independence,
my master bedroom.
Yeah, we're living in their master bedroom now. And so thank you for that, by the way.
You're welcome.
They got kicked out into the other. It's not a terrible.
No.
But it's not the master bedroom, that's for sure. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. You know, anything for my mom. Absolutely anything. But it's a beautiful thing. It makes you value and appreciate when you had a master bedroom. But it also just makes you appreciate what I am gaining from having, you know, my parents do life with us. Mm. There's a lot. And one thing I wanted to mention, you know, marriages are so under attack right now in our country. I just believe it wholeheartedly. And I feel it, too, in my own marriage, you know, that there's just this lie we tend to believe in our marriages. And one little tidbit I wanted to share is that date nights or just time with my husband is so much easier to accomplish and easier to make a reality for us when you guys are right there, because it doesn't take so much planning in terms of, you know, making sure that you clear your whole calendar for an evening so we can go out and, you know, do a date night. Sometimes it's just running up to the, you know, little coffee shop and being able to get a coffee together and have an hour, because we realize you guys don't have a lot going on that in that moment, or getting to build the fence together, and you guys are kind of keeping an eye on the kids, and we don't have to worry as much about that. So I just wanted to put that tidbit in there. I think that it really is helpful to your marriage, you know, and being able to have those people come alongside you that promised on your wedding day that they would, that they would be there, and they would support you. And you guys have been that for us.
I can almost hear some people saying, well, what about leave and cleave? Mm. And let's just say, we'll tackle that at some point, because there is something about boundaries and having boundaries, and boundaries are good. Mm-hmm. And we have them, and I think we have pretty healthy boundaries. But at the same time, there's something really wonderful about, as you say, being able to do life together and be more spontaneous, because now in our world, everything is so scheduled. Everything, we're all too busy, first of all. But if you can have some of that, as you say, you know, ability to just do things that you want to do because you've got other adults around and they're there and they care for your kids. Yeah, I can see where that's a big plus. Mm-hmm. Let me give you one of the big pluses on my side of things. I've always lived pretty close to our grandkids. They have lived either right next door or just down the hill. Again, this is the first time we've been long-term, probably be a little long-term under the same roof until we get our place built. But one of the things that is so wonderful is seeing all those little moments that probably wouldn't come up in conversation between the two of us, because they're just everyday things that you probably don't think a whole lot about. But when you experience them as a grandparent, you're like, whoa, wow, this is just like so cool that I saw or heard this moment. And Brie, I had one the other day. I think you'll remember this. We were having dinner together, which we do a lot in this situation. We don't always. When we had our home separate, we'd only have dinner together maybe once a week, would you say? Mm-hmm. But now a little bit more often since we're doing this transition. But it was dinner time, and we were sitting around the table, and our little seven-year-old, it was his turn to say the prayer before dinner. And he started to pray. And, you know, right now there's so much unrest in the Middle East. There's so much going on, and that was kind of the last thing I thought he would pray about. But when he prayed the blessing over the meal, he prayed for Grandpa's knee, he prayed about, you know, his Nana and his Papa, his other grandparents and some other people. And then at the end, and you'll have to, do you remember this prayer? Mm-hmm. You'll have to help me remember exactly how he said it. But then he said, and Lord, I pray for Israel. And how did he say it? Because I thought it was so interesting.
I think he said that you'll protect and help them. And then he paused and just said, and I know you will, because you keep your promises.
And yes, that's what it was. I need to write that down, because when he said, because you keep your promises, I could have been under the table. I was just so moved by that, because that's the truth. That is such truth coming out of his seven-year-old's mouth that I would not probably have heard unless just by accident, you know. Yeah. But because of those little moments. And as I've told you before, this whole idea of blue zones, where people live to old age and not just live limping along to old age, but live healthy lives into old age, One of the things that the research has shown is that it is not just one major thing. It's lots of little things. And a lot of those little things are these little interactions that you have that bring joy into your life. Mm. And so I'm so grateful for that. And I would just love for everybody, every grandparent, to experience that as much as you can. Now, maybe you can't, you know, do it to the extent that we are, but the more you can plug into those everyday things and be a help, you know, come alongside, be a backup, whatever it might be, I think you get to experience more of those kinds of moments.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I know for us, we just have seen how that lifestyle of working side by side, you know, I think we talk about boundaries, we talk about, you know, really helping one another. And one of those ways is work and getting outside, you know, working up until your old age. You're not that old, though.
Yeah, but moving, normal movement, you know, not going to the gym to work out, which I hate.
Yeah.
Nothing against you guys that love that. But, you know, that normal motion is really good for you.
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. Going out. Now, another story we were going to tell is about one thing that we do not have in common, which is weeds. I hate pulling weeds. You love pulling weeds. And we have a lot of weeds on this new property. And so
we've had weeds on every property we've ever owned.
That's just true.
I don't love the weeds, but I do find something very therapeutic about pulling them.
Mm-hmm. But I think you have realized that we're a little in over our heads with the weeds on this one because it's bigger, right?
Right.
And so in an effort to not have as many weeds to pull and not have to do it myself, because I don't find satisfaction like you do thinking, oh, I got you up from the roots. I see it like, I got you, and you're going to come right back tomorrow.
That's reality.
I'm going to have to pull you.
Yeah, yeah.
So we, talking about conflict, you know, talking about multi-generational living.
I know where this is going, I'm putting two and two together. Yeah, absolutely.
We have an issue, and I'm not sure. I mean, this is going to put a deadline on when we have to tell my dad that we are getting... We're getting goats.
Yeah, because he has always said, I don't care what animals you get, but don't get goats. Because he's heard so many horror stories about goats and that they get out, you know, and that's the last thing you want to have to deal with. So how are you going to tell your dad that? Because you're getting them, right?
We're getting the goats, and it's actually my husband that wants the goats, I think, because he knows that I don't want him to just spray and kill everything. I want, you know, to try to cut down on that as much as possible, and I also don't want to pull them, and he doesn't want to pull them, and so he's the one that pulled the trigger on the goats.
Wow.
And so I told him, hey, babe, guess what? You get to tell Dad about the goats. So
he's
I'm not sure how
gonna
this
be
is going
to
go.
But you do have to tell him, because now we're telling you.
I know.
And I don't want you to tell him in the grocery store. Hey, I heard about your goats.
I heard about your goats. They're so cute, though.
Are they cute?
So cute.
I haven't seen them yet.
Oh, my goodness. They're so cute. Olive and Toast are their names. They're adorable. Oh, my goodness.
So we'll have to show you pictures on our Instagram and our Facebook. And
we will.
See if we can get Dad to pose with them.
Oh my goodness.
He's not going to be happy.
I know.
And the thing about her dad, my husband, is that he will milk it.
He will milk it.
And he'll probably have fun with it as it's all said and done.
But I know. It'll be another way we can teach our kids about conflict.
Maybe big conflict. I'm not sure. Hey, speaking of that, can I just say this thing that I wrote down as I was thinking about all this stuff we've been talking about today? You know, expecting life to be perfect, you know, isn't that something that we all do? No matter what it is, we just think, oh, this is going to be great. And we just think, oh, it'll be just perfect. Well, that's completely unrealistic. You know that, and I know that. And that's the truth with multi-generational living, too, because you just better expect challenges, and by that I mean problems. You better expect that. Disagreements, the need to compromise. Those are things you need to expect with multi-generational living, is that opportunity to compromise. But the other side of that coin, joy. Celebrate the joys, the benefits, those moments, those unexpected serendipities. When you share those and experience those, remember those, tell those stories, that is what makes it all worth it. But don't expect perfection, because that's not it's not realistic. And I just have to go back to the verse that we recite this so often, Philippians 4:8, where Paul says, you know what? Remember, above all, remember this, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about those things. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's a discipline of the mind and of the heart to put the things that irritate you into their own little corner where you deal with it, or you laugh at it, or you sometimes maybe talk late at night about it. but overall, your mind, your heart is thinking about the things that really make life worth living and make multi-generational living really something that we would encourage you, if at all possible, to consider.
Mm. Well, and as we round out this season of just focusing on raising countercultural kids, it's more important now than it ever has been. You know, our kids, the culture is just coming right at them. I think we've laid out that case for you as we've talked through just some of the hardships our kids are having to face. Yet, our battle isn't against flesh. It's against, you know, the spirits of this world. And it's much bigger than something that we can just tackle on our own. And it can start to feel really scary and something we should be fearful of. Yet, isn't it like our God that would come and give us tangible ways that we can fight against the culture, that we can help raise healthy, happy, joyful kids? Isn't it like him to do that with relationships, mm-hmm. to do that with his creation, with fresh air and sunlight and animals and water and food? Isn't it like him to literally provide everything that we need, mm-hmm. his word, mm-hmm. that we get to soak up every single day if we take the time to do so? Mm-hmm. It's just beautiful. That then when you start focusing on all the tools you have at your dispense right around you, it is miraculous. And you don't have to fear. You all of a sudden, mm-hmm. that fear and that worry starts to melt away. Yeah. And so I'm so thankful for how we've gotten to live. We're going to continue this summer just sharing probably some of the funny stories that are happening out on the farm and the funny things with the animals, mm-hmm. and yeah. what our plan is for the future. And then we hope that you'll come back to us in the fall and we'll continue a conversation. How do we create homes that heal, homes that glorify God, homes that are a place of refuge and restoration for our kids and frankly for ourselves too? So thank you so much for joining us along this journey. We appreciate you. We would love for you to share our past episodes with friends and family. You can do that just by clicking the share button and letting somebody know that you want to be their partner in crime. You want to be their backup and you want to help them as they work toward raising countercultural kids.
We wish you well, don't we, though? Mm-hmm. I mean, just thinking about the next few weeks as we all head into summer and a busy time in its own way, mm-hmm. we hope and pray that it's a really wonderful time and season for your family.
Mm-hmm. A Home That Heals is produced in partnership with 89.5 KTSY. To find out more about them, go to ktsy.org.